Coming here was, as some of you may know, was almost like a trip through the wilderness again, like a preview for the upcoming Moses movie for us. And we're heading for Albuquerque and left New York City Friday morning, early morning. We were on like 8 o'clock, I guess, flight. And that was Friday, and didn't get into Albuquerque until about 3-4 o'clock yesterday afternoon. So it's a long story, and I won't go into the details, but it's been a very, very strange visit for us. We've been here a whole day, and we haven't had any green chili yet, so it's been an incredibly different kind of a trip for us, but it's really wonderful to be here. And you know, I was really touched because, let me get my place here. So much of what we were just singing and talking about is messianic in nature. We just read a wonderful messianic prophecy out of Micah. You know, come, O come, Emmanuel, rescue captive Israel. This is a season that we think about Messiah. We think about messianic prophecies. You know, I was born a Jewish kid in Brooklyn, New York, and came from an Orthodox, my father was Orthodox, came from an Orthodox Jewish home. And I never realized that so many of these songs, I'd never really heard them except way in the background. I never realized that so many of these songs talked about Israel, talked about us Jewish people. Excuse me. And now that I'm a believer, I see that, and it really amazed me, and it saddened me in a lot of ways, because this holiday really is so much about, obviously, a Jewish Messiah, and how this Jewish Messiah came into the world in fulfillment of Jewish prophecy. And then the word, the light, went out to the Gentile nations, because as Isaiah prophesied, he was going to be a light to the nations. In fact, the Lord had said in Isaiah, and I'm going to talk about the scripture a little bit, God said through Isaiah, it's too light a thing, it shouldn't even be a heavy burden on you, Israel, Isaiah, to raise up your Jewish people in the light of Messiah. That should be an easy thing. It's the light that goes out to the Gentiles, that was supposed to be a difficult thing. How can these Gentiles get saved? That was the question earlier on in the early believing church. How can a Gentile get saved? Anybody know the answer to that? So it's all messianic. It's all Jewish. And yet when I was growing up and I was a kid in Brooklyn, I used to hear all these Christmas songs kind of in the background. Thank you. God bless you. I thought it said, God bless you, Jerry Mandelbaum. Let God's peace be upon you or something. I knew Jerry Mandelbaum. If God's peace was upon this kid, your God's got a lot of problems, you know. But I just felt outside of all of this. And it was very sad. But as a believer, I've come to see that there are extraordinary connections. Not only connections, but absolutely, absolutely definite reasons why the Gentiles should be able to understand who the Jewish people are and how to connect with them at this time. So can I have the first slide, or I guess it's up there, the first slide. As you know, Jewish people don't normally celebrate Christmas. We didn't celebrate Christmas. I mean, we actually tried to stay as far away from Christmas as we possibly could. That was a Gentile holiday. About a Jewish baby, of course, you know, but that's what we were told. It's a Gentile holiday. Gentiles get big presents and, you know, Lionel trains when I was a kid, and just wonderful gifts and presents that they give. And it's a great holiday, and Hanukkah was just this little tiny, almost a nothing holiday when I was growing up. We used to give each other, because it was a mid-season school break. We used to get pens and school books for presents, okay? For 8 nights, you get presents, okay? And all the Gentiles had trees and presents and all this kind of stuff, and we were just left out in the cold. But we had this one thing up there called a Hanukkiah. Now, most of you are familiar with a menorah, right? And as you can see here, I don't know if you can count real quick, but there's a difference between this Hanukkiah, is what it's called, and a menorah. Menorah has 7 lampstands. This has 8 lampstands. Most Gentiles don't know that that's because there was a miracle that happened. Because the light of the temple, the light of the menorah, stayed lit for 8 days. It's a miracle. It was an 8-day miracle. So we light 8 candles. One a night. I know at Advent, we light one per week, right? We light one per night for 8 days. Have the next slide, please. Now, the menorah. I'll knock it over. Okay, thanks. The menorah has a middle candle. And this middle candle is very, very important. Because this middle candle lights all the other candles. Every night of Hanukkah, we light the middle candle. It's called the servant candle. Or in Hebrew, it's called the shamash. I'm going to get into that in a little bit. But that one candle lights everything over the duration of the holiday. On the first night, we light the middle candle and one other candle. On the second night, we light the servant candle, and then we light 2 candles. On the third night, we light the shamash, or the servant candle, and then 3 candles, etc. Until we have a full house of light. What I want to do today is I want to be able to share with you ways that you can communicate with Jewish people the similarities of our two holidays. Not the differences. Now what keeps us, you know what the Jewish people call December and call Christmas? They call it the December dilemma. Okay? The December dilemma. Because for how many months and weeks and all this kind of stuff, we have to deal with this crazy Christmas holiday. Of course, more Jews participate in it now than they used to. But it was always called the December dilemma. So we had our little Hanukkah. And you guys had Christmas. Next slide. Christmas, the nativity, is about the light coming into the world. At Hanukkah, we have the light of the shamash lighting up the Hanukkah. Let me give you some scriptures here. Isaiah, this is the scripture that I was talking about earlier. Isaiah 49:6 says, this is the Lord speaking to Isaiah and the children of Israel. It is too light a thing that you should just be my servant just to raise up the tribes of Jacob. That should be a given. Talking about this servant that's spoken of in Isaiah, I can't get into the whole background of it, but the servant is like the main character in the entire book of Isaiah. This servant is going to do miraculous things for Israel and for the rest of the world. And he's called the servant of the Lord. He eventually is going to suffer and die, this servant. But here in Isaiah 49:6, it says, it's too light a thing that you should be my servant just to raise up Jacob and to bring back the remnant of Israel. But I will make you as a light to the nations, and that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth. This Jewish servant Messiah, originally called to raise up the tribes of Israel, Israel doesn't respond. Israel doesn't respond at that time. But until that happens, I'm going to make you a light to the nations. Who could that possibly be speaking of? Who could that possibly be speaking of but the servant of the Lord, who is the light? In John, it says, can I have the next slide, please? In John, 1 John, it says, John himself, John the Baptist, he was not this light. He was simply a witness to tell us about the light. The one who is the true light, who gives light to everyone. This one was coming into the world. And to back up a little bit in the chapter, it says, the Word of God gave life to everything that was created, and his life brought light to everyone. And this light shines into the darkness, and the darkness shall never extinguish it. This season is about the light of the Messiah. The light of a Jewish Messiah who is prophesied, who John spoke of. And he said, this is the light of all of us. I want to speak about this middle candle that lights all the other candles. It's called in Hebrew the Shamash. The Shamash means the servant. Can I have the next slide, please? The servant. The servant candle lights the entire Hanukkah. The servant candle keeps the light of Hanukkah going throughout the 8 days that we celebrate this holiday. Yeshua, Jewish name of Jesus, spoke about being a servant. And in Mark 10:42, it says, calling the rest of his disciples to himself, Yeshua said to them, you know that those who are recognized as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great men exercise authority over them. But it is not to be this way among you. But whoever wishes to become great among you shall become your what? Your servant. And whoever wishes to be first among you shall be a servant of all. For even the Son of Man, Mark 10:45, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, to give his life as a ransom for many. It is all about the servant of the Lord. The servant of the Lord lighting up the rest of the Hanukkah. The Old Testament prophesies this. Yeshua is the fulfillment of this. The disciples proclaimed this. And every night for Hanukkah, the Jewish people take a servant candle and light the Hanukkah light every night, knowing that this is the servant candle that they are working with. Next slide. Well, we kind of went back there somewhere. You're on slide number 1, 2, 3. There it is. So after 8 nights, we have everything all lit up in the house. So Hanukkah is about the servant serving others and bringing light and life into the life of the believing community. Yeshua is the servant of the Lord. A Jewish Messiah is still remembered. I mean, there's an incredible history of Hanukkah, which I really can't go into. And history is so important. But I really can't go into the whole history of how the Maccabees withstood all the forces of the world. They were taken over. These Jewish zealots were taken over by the Greek, Syrophoenician Greeks. And all the world had gone against them. And these few Jewish zealots called the Maccabees, a family especially of Maccabees, were zealots. And what were they zealous for? They were zealous for the ways of the Lord. They were zealous for the Torah. This is within what we call the dark years. You know what it's called, the dark years, supposedly in the intertestament period? When we're told by theologians that this was the dark years when God didn't speak to anyone for 400 years after the close of Malachi until Matthew was born, until Matthew proclaimed Yeshua. These 400 years, they tell us, God was kind of sleeping. He was out to lunch. He wasn't doing much. But he was still working with his people, Israel. And he was working with them to keep this nation and this temple and this service alive. Because these were his people, and from these people, in 400 years was going to come the light of the world. The rededication of the temple. The word Hanukkah means dedication or to rededicate. Can I have the next slide, please? Yeshua was zealous for the temple. Yeshua was zealous for the ways of the Lord. Yeshua threw out the false religionists. He said, I will not allow my Father's house to become a house of merchandise. The early Jewish ministry at the time of Yeshua had become corrupt. Yeshua stood up against it. And he said, cleanse this temple. Cleanse this temple. He threw out the money changers. Today, we who are believers are called to be the temple of the Lord. We are called to be his temple in these last days. Do you not know, Rev Shaul, the Rabbi Saul said, that you are the temple of the living God, because the holiness of God dwells in you. The Maccabees, when they were winning this war and overthrowing the mightiest army on the face of the earth with just a small group of zealots who were zealous for God's ways and zealous for the Torah, when they finally entered into Jerusalem after defeating all the armies of the Greeks, they didn't continue their warfare. When they came to the temple at Jerusalem and seeing how it had become desecrated, how it had become defiled, they were indignant and wept. Do we feel that way about God's ways, about God's temple? They stopped their warfare against the Greeks and they went into the temple and they rededicated the temple. They cleansed it. Because the desolation, the image that causes desolation was in the center of their holy temple. Yeshua refers to this. The temple in the Holy of Holies had become desecrated with filth. Remember Yeshua said, let the reader understand, let the listener understand. He was talking about the desecration of God's ways and God's temple. And we are called to cleanse our temples. We are called to be a people with whom the temple and the Holy Spirit dwells richly. When they went to light that Hanukkah, that menorah, that was one of the first things they wanted to do, was to relight the holy light of the menorah in the temple. Because they knew how important it was, the light to temple worship. They went and they said, oh my God, the oil of the temple has been made filthy. It's been desecrated. We can't use this oil. We can't run out to a supermarket and buy cheap oil and just light the candles with anything. There was a process by which they had to make the olive oil pure to light the candles, and they knew it was going to take a certain amount of time, but they didn't care. It was so important for them to make sure that that light was pure, ritually pure, according to the Mosaic standards, that they wouldn't go out to use some wall balms or what's a supermarket around here? Some oil from the supermarket. They couldn't use it. They had to have this pure, holy oil of the temple. And what happened was God honored that according to this tradition. So what they did was they saw a great miracle happen, because there was only enough oil that was left that was still pure from what the Greeks had done to the desecration. There was only so much oil left for one day's lighting. One day. But they poured that oil in there, and we're told a great miracle happened here. And the one day's oil lasted for 8 days. So there were 7 days of miracles, and that's what we celebrate at Hanukkah. That the Lord created a miracle because of their faith. Because they weren't going to go second rate. They weren't going to use any secondhand talk or anything that wasn't absolutely purely of the Lord himself. And God blessed it. And the menorah stayed lit for the full 8 days. And that's how long it took for them to purify, to get a whole new pure batch of olive oil that was ritually pure, that could be used. So the Lord had honored it. And today we play a little game, and it's called the dreidel game. And there's little letters on it. And those letters that we play with in this little dreidel game, the letters stand for these words: a great miracle happened here. And that's what we remember, is a great miracle that happened there. Next slide. It was so important to these men. It was so important to the priesthood. It was so important to Yeshua to have the temple clean and pure, and the rituals of the temple done exactly the way Moses had prescribed them. They would stand for nothing less. They were zealous for God's law. They were zealous for his ways. Next slide. There would have been darkness, absolute darkness, in that temple if they hadn't lit that candle, according to that menorah, according to the absolute perfect way that God had prescribed. But because they did, next slide, we had a miracle happen there. And all the days that were needed for the purification of the temple, God provided. So we have a wonderful miracle that happened some 200 years before the birth of the Messiah. But an even greater miracle happened. And I ask you to just open in your Bibles to John chapter 10. Because a lot of people miss this scripture. It's John chapter 10, verse 22. It says, at that time, it was the feast of dedication, or the festival of Hanukkah. And it took place in Jerusalem. It was dark, it was winter, and Yeshua was walking in the temple colonnade, in the colonnade of Solomon. Yeshua was remembering that miracle. Yeshua was celebrating the feast of Hanukkah. It is not a Mosaic feast. It's not one of the great feasts of the Lord. But it was a feast that Yeshua thought was so important that he needed to be there. So the light that was kindled and kept alive in the temple some 200 years earlier, the light that light spoke about, the coming of the one who is the light of the world, would never have happened. Would never have happened if those Jewish men were not zealous for God's ways. The temple would have been desecrated. Israel would have become just another pagan nation. If it wasn't for Hanukkah, there would be no Christmas. There would be no miracle of Yeshua's birth. That's how important this connection is. Because the Lord wants us to understand that the Jews, oh, remember captive Israel. Rejoice, rejoice, we sang. The first time I heard that song as a believer, I was astounded. I said to Carol, is that really the words of this song? Remember captive Israel, a singing about Israel? I didn't even know that. Most Jewish people don't know that. That this, and most believers, most Christians don't even really realize it. How important captive Israel is. And the way that we can connect with captive Israel, like the next slide, please, is remember them as they celebrate their Hanukkah festival. They got lights too. They light up their houses. But they think that their houses is totally separate from your, you know, Christmas houses. And from, you know, Frosty and Rudolph and all that stuff. It's an important time for us to connect. We who are in New York, we are around Carol and I are around very, very secular Jews. Secular Jews, just, you know, kind of guys that are lawyers and stockbrokers and successful. We're on the Upper West Side of Manhattan, which is a kind of a very expensive kind of a place to live. And it's mostly a Jewish, if you're familiar with, it's like, we call it Seinfeld country, okay? So basically that's where we are, you know. Woody Allen, Seinfeld country. And some of them celebrate Hanukkah, some of them don't. It's not a big deal for them, really. But we try to recall for them, cause them to remember what our faith is really all about. It's about promises to our people Israel. Promises that Israel would be captive. But the light of the world is born. And His light came forth from you guys. And it was supposed to shine into the darkness of our unbelieving Jewish mishpacha, brethren. They're your brethren. And if it wasn't for what they did at Hanukkah, you wouldn't be here today. You wouldn't be here today. It's as simple as that. So we feel that reaching our Jewish people in these last days, and we thank you guys so much, because this is a church that supports us, and we know you guys pray for us. It's not an easy task, trust me, to deal with these wise guy Seinfeld types, okay? They're very secular. Most of them are really not touched by the religion that they were born into. They were bar mitzvahed, and that was the last time, except for funerals or weddings, that they're in a synagogue. That's the story. But we're about praying, and we're seeing it. There is, in these last days, more of an interest in spiritual things, even the spiritual things of our Jewish history. You know, many Jews have kind of wandered off into the world. There's something called, it's a big movement in Judaism. It's called Boo Jews. You know what Boo Jews are? Buddhist Jews. And it's acceptable. It's absolutely acceptable. In fact, it's very trendy. And there are other things that are even worse than that. And it's all acceptable in the Jewish religion. Because anything that's spiritual is okay. Except if you believe in Yeshua, the light of the world. The light of our people. The servant who the Lord God raised up. Because that's for the Gentiles. And, you know, you can't really blame them. Because that's what we were told. You know, God bless you, Jerry Mandelbaum. That's all I knew. Why would they be singing about Jerry Mandelbaum? No one told me. My father was an Orthodox Jewish man, an observant Jewish man. And I do believe he died at a very early age. I do believe he never, ever heard the truth about who Jesus is and how Jesus is of our people. So we covet your prayers. We covet your support. We ask you to pray for us, because we know that these are the days, these are the last days that we're living in. It's a time especially to get zealous for God's house. Zealous for God's word, zealous for God's Torah, zealous for God's prophecies concerning the Jewish people. Because there will come a time, if you read the scriptures, and I'm sure you do, you know, there is coming a time when it is going to be very, very, very difficult for the Jewish people to exist on our planet. We can see foreshadows of that already all over Europe. In the Middle East, in the United States, incredible rise of anti-Semitism, not seen since the days of the Nazi Holocaust in the 30s. And it's going to happen. Because what we call the Great Tribulation, that's what we call this, if you believe that that's going to happen. The real name of that in Hebrew is the time of Jacob's distress. It's not even talking about, you know, Kathy and Tony and Vincent. It's about Jacob and his people. That's what the Great Tribulation is beamed at. The enemy hates the Jewish people. And the wrath, the full wrath, if you read the full scriptures in Revelation, I'm sure you have, and other places, is going to come upon the Jewish people. Many Jewish people will be lost in those last days. And I'm not saying we're going to see a huge revival right now of Jewish people coming to faith in their Messiah. We are seeing some of it. There's a couple of wonderful people in our congregation. One is a very, very established Jewish doctor in New York City, a very well-established man in the community. His wife is part of the whole cultural education. She's a film critic. And another young man who was in the midst of raves and craziness with all his buddies is a young Jewish man who's zealous for the Lord. But we're seeing Jewish people coming to faith in their Messiah, because everything else out there is darkness and lies. And the more light we can pray for them, the more light we can shed, especially on the connections. You can't just walk up to a Jewish person and just quote John 3:16 to them. You just can't do that. You got to make the connection. You got to show them that our faith is really of their people's faith. It's the same thing. You Gentiles worship the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And you love the God of Israel. Pray for Israel. Pray for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Let me go ahead and close in prayer, okay? Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord, for this time of light. And especially, it's so special to me and Carol here to be in Albuquerque, because we love this season so much here in Albuquerque, because it's just very different than anywhere else. And I know that your light and your spirit is here in a very powerful way, Lord. We love the luminarias of this time and of this place. And we pray, Lord God, that the light of the luminarias and the light of this season will shine forth the light of truth that came into the world, the light of our Messiah, Yeshua. We bless you, Lord, and we thank you, Father God, that you desire for those who are dwelling in darkness, those who live in deep darkness will come into the wonderful light of their Messiah, Yeshua. Thank you, Lord. We handed out some brochures. If you want to fill them out, if you're not on our prayer list, if you don't connect with us, you don't pray with us, you want to know what we're doing in New York City and all of the mishigas that we go through. We're going to talk a lot next in our next prayer letter about the trip coming out here. But we need your prayers. We really need your prayers. So we ask you to fill this out, put it in the offering box. Carol and I will be in the back. I've got this wonderful brochure, this booklet, on Hanukkah and how there are meditations that connect with believers, believing Christians, and how you can connect with your Jewish mishpacha, those Jews around you, about this holiday, which is just so separate. The two seem to be so separate, yet there is a wonderful connection that can be made, and you can share your faith in your Yeshua, your Jesus, with the lost sheep of Israel. Thank you very much. God bless you. It's great to be with you guys. Shalom.